You know what it is? It's the Artmosphere brought to you by the Pond Collective. I'm still your man, KD, your regular host, and I'm back, alive, healthy. And you know what we're all about? We're all about life. We're all about the universe. We're all about art. We're all about creativity. We're all about fun. I mean, we're young people now. You know how they go. So, as usual, I'm never alone in this. I always have someone special. And this time, it's someone that's really, really close to me. She is a great artist. I'm not just spitballing because we're friends. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, she's a great artist. She's an inspiration to me. I mean, she might not accept it, obviously. She never does. And we do hang out a lot. And so many great stuff about her. I'm talking about no other person that in your last on your Lou, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Kitty.
How's it going?
Dragging me here.
I know it was hard getting here because I remember when I texted the address to you, the traffic, the fuel scarcity. Oh, I was looking at the map when you shared your ride details with me, and the driver was rotating at one spot. And I was just looking. I was hoping, there's something that Uber does in the app. So when you're stuck at a position for a long time, they ask, are you okay? And they're like, I'm cool. He hasn't kidnapped me yet, okay? So, like, glad to have you here. So you're welcome to the pond, like we call this space, and you're welcome to this show.
Thank you.
So I've done the introduction, but how about you just tell people a little bit about you? Because, yeah, it's easy to just go online, search Google, and your name is going to pop out. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Hi, everyone. I am Inyola Sonyalu, and I'm a visual artist based here in Lagos, Nigeria. A graduate of the University of Lagos, where I studied painting. What else? I'm an expressionist, yeah. Abstract figurative artist.
Abstract figurative artist. Like, yo, our works are always beautiful. Like, from a distance, you see the forms, and then you go close, you see the textures and everything. It's great. It's great to have you here. So, like, usually we don't really tense people up. I mean, we just vibe now, and I just talk about random stuff. I see it in your face. I mean, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, we met, 2020, the boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
And then the residency. I mean, that's like 2 years ago. I mean, it feels like forever. Or maybe it's just me. I'm just too old.
you're kind of.
Yeah, don't say it in the camera. Don't tell people that. Oh, yeah. No, I've been using my fake age for a while, and it's been working fine for me. So how did it all start? I remember seeing like older works of yours. So how this whole impressionist style just start? Like, what idea is it? Like, was it inspired by an older artist or
Actually, I used to be one who really loved doing live paintings of like portraits and stuff.
So I'm always scared of that.
In school, it was the school. Oh. Tell people to pose and like paint them. And then after graduating, I noticed that I just had portraits in my studio. And they were all staring at me. So it was like kind of creepy.
Nah, the way you said it, staring at me, like, it was like.
So it was just like faces and eyes everywhere, Sha. Yeah. And I wasn't really comfortable with that glare. And I wanted to do something different. You kind of find your way, or should I say your style, when you try different things. Yeah, so I had this rough moments of experimenting and trying to mess up the face so that I won't see the eyes. I think that's where I started from, Sha, trying to mess up the eyes. Yeah. And I do have my experiments in the studio, and they're terrible. But I think it started from that. I don't want to see the eyes staring at me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where it started from. I started messing up the face, and then we're here.
I know. I think I can relate to this because I switched styles a lot, and I had like, I call them like periods in my life and in my career. You know, at some point I was detailed with my face and everything, pause and all. Then I switched style a little bit. Let me tilt a little bit to the inverted style and all. And I feel I get those moments where I start feeling, okay, I've done this. Is it nice? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it crap? I don't know. But I don't know if you get those moments to where you feel, okay, this is something new. Do you feel like, okay, if you show this to somebody that admires your work, mm-hmm. how do you think they will feel that? I mean, do you ever like get those moments or something?
Of course not. that popular saying of us being our biggest critic or something like that.
Yeah.
So even after you think you've achieved something and when you finally see it, you always want more. Like, it's not yet there. It's never always there.
True.
So
that's where,
even if you do something that you've been thinking of doing, that, okay, if I do like this and I do like that, and it comes out like this, then bam. Until you see it and you just actually want more and be like, this is it, oh, but we just always want more.
We just
like,
want more.
There's always something more. Missing, Sha. So, yeah.
So, like, I see your works and I like the fact that you it's more like you talk about self basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing could be a little bit it could be a little bit personal, you understand? So like the thing is, as personal as it is to you, I always find a way to just relate to it. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you even make that one? I mean, I ask myself, how did she even make that one? Because it's something personal. It's like you telling your own experience to somebody and there's a chance that that person might not really understand. But people who know your work, who I've spoken to, and they're like...
We are human beings. I'm human.
Uh-huh.
And regardless of what I express, so far you're human.
Yeah.
You would also experience something similar. So I'm just basically... expressing everyday experiences, things I find interesting, questions I have to ask, random thoughts in my head, and it's human experience.
Yeah.
Because so it's very easy for another human, except you're not human.
Are you a bot? You take the money.
So it's very easy for another human to kind of relate with it, because these are things we all kind of go through. And yeah.
I think that's what captures me the most about your work. I mean, wait, pause. For you guys watching this, I mean, if you don't know her work, I really, really don't know what to tell you. You need to just hit up Google. Spend like 2 days. Yeah, it's not something you spend a few hours. Spend 2 days. Because if you spend a few hours, it's quite insulting. So you spend two days researching so you understand what we're talking about. I don't want you to feel like, it's nice, but look, art is beautiful. I mean,
they
can
still react that way because not everybody would like your work, regardless.
True. There's that point.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, it's not you create work for yourself, and at the end of the day, you would attract your audience. Not everybody is meant to be your audience. People see your work and pass by, fine, they're not your audience.
Yeah, I remember at some exhibitions I used to go years ago, people would pass by my work. They'll come back, then they'll pass by again, then they see me smiling at them. I was like, I'm like, oh, it's your work. It's nice, it's nice. Like, okay, say something. And I think I can relate with that. And I want to ask, like, what are the challenges that you face in your process? I know you use heavy body paints and all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there may be challenges here and there. Like,
oh, definitely.
What are the challenges you experience in work? I know we talk about some things on a personal level, but just random.
I mean, apart from like physical things, like good weather, because it's usually so hot in Lagos, and I can't work with AC because I work with oil.
Yeah.
So I need somewhere ventilated. My space is not well ventilated.
I walk into your studio and the smell of oil just hits me. Like,
yeah, exactly. So that is it's not healthy, and it's not a comfortable space to work in all the time.
Kids, if you're listening, it's really not healthy. Okay, just take
so
notes.
Most of the time when I work, after working, I take milk or yogurt because it helps with the chemicals.
Milk or yogurt? I gotta write that down. Milk or yogurt.
Other things, I think, is just maybe personal things like overthinking the narrative.
That's the thing. At some point, I was thinking maybe I could find a hack to this whole thing. Like,
good luck.
If I stop, okay, so actually myself, I'm with my paintbrush. I mix my colors down. Like, okay, let me just paint without thinking. And then mm-hmm. I just apply it on the canvas. And it's like, okay. And you know when you start having those moments of pause and you start thinking, this part, then this part, and then you see another error mm-hmm. that you, before you know, start overthinking and mm-hmm. all of that. I think I was thinking maybe it was just me, but I talked to like a lot of artists and I think we've had conversations kind of like this.
Most people, I don't know.
We'll go with most people.
When working sometimes, or when you're trying to work, or having that art block mm-hmm. moment, I think the best advice I would give, I try to do it, it doesn't work all the time, but sometimes it does work, mm-hmm. Is to, I think, look at the simplest things to work with. Take a portrait, look at the cup at the table with the light coming from the window and painting. The idea is just to wake something back up. So it doesn't necessarily have to have, everything has a narrative, really. Yeah, but if you're searching, if you're like trying to force that narrative, it's going to be a difficult journey for you. Yeah. So it's actually more advisable to start with the simplest things. Sketch the most random messed. They were like random.
No. We'll go with that.
And I think the idea is just to wake something back up. I'm currently going through it. I haven't worked in a while. And what I just did was to pick a random photograph I took. And I'm just painting it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of juxtaposition, putting random images together. It's not making any sense. And wasting paint, but I'm just trying to wake myself back up. Get back in the moment.
Yeah, oh, yeah. By the way, if you do start some works, and remember on our last trip to Los Angeles, I took photos of you. So, yes.
Okay,
so, just put credit, photo credits, KD or Taro. That's I didn't know you'll tease later. it's a beautiful thing, you sharing these process and extreme challenges and whatnot. And I feel like a lot of younger artists out there could relate to it, because sometimes it gets really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like it gets difficult and you start thinking, okay, you doing the right thing, or are you overdoing or underdoing?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that battle of the overperforming or underperforming,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. We just want to be like the gray area.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to have that balance, because I just think we're natural overthinkers. I mean, you live in Nigeria, it's normal to overthink everything, because it's a very stressful
thing. For me, I do have a confession. I'm going to say this on camera. Whenever I go through my arts block, I call her off. How often do I disturb you? Like, you awake. Let me show you something. And then I tell her about my work. And I do have some other artists. I mean, the crew here, most of us are artists. We talk about the process. What do you think about this? Everybody brings suggestions and try to put you on track. At least that works for me. So but if I try to do it alone, like going through pictures, for me, the process takes longer when I want to do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just talk to people I know that I get inspiration from, and it works for me, you understand? And sometimes they give me the same advice. Okay, go look at photos, look at artworks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the US, our trip, she took me to so many galleries. Every time, I was just the yes man. They're like, okay, dude, let's go check. Okay, let's go. And it was beautiful. I learned, at first, I wanted to just stay indoors and just walk the streets, but every gallery we visited, every museum we visited,
there was always
something. And I think it filled my head up with so many ideas, not confusing ideas that put me on a path that, yes, I know I can work nonstop for a long period of time.
From where you are, you could
exactly,
go further.
Go further. And one thing I also learned from those visits were not to overthink my process, and I should just let the art flow through me.
Definitely.
And that's been my problem. For people who know my work, I'm so technical, because I remember you say it often, Katie, you have straight lines. You always have straight lines, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, and I like I mentioned earlier, I like the feel of your work. Your work has this, I'm moved by the texture of your work, because I see in your paintings. Okay, the childish mindset I have is, if you hold this painting, how heavy will it be? Because the amount of the paints you use, I really want to go paint shopping with you someday.
Mm-mm.
Oh, by the way, we'll be going for canvas shopping immediately
that
after this.
That is why I'm here.
Yes. The plan was, So go and get some canvases and then come and do this episode. Yeah. But I was like, okay, let's do this episode first and then we go get canvases. So I'll make a video that we'll put this so you guys can check that. I see how artists shop and I would cut out the part where I'm haggling the prices because I'm going to do that, obviously. Chama, how much last, basically. But really, I want to go art shopping with you because you use a lot of paint. And it's beautiful that you are so free with your processing. And that's what I love the most about your work. And look, it's great.
I mean, I remember people, they still say it, of you're just wasting paint.
Wasting? It's hard.
But then someone, one other artist mentioned something that someone said. It was, I think, if I'm not wrong, something like, you're only wasting it if it's like still inside the tube or something like that. So I just want to achieve something, regardless of.
You're wasting it if it's inside the tube.
The number, the amount of. Well,
I'm going to write that. I'm going to write that.
So I just want to achieve something. So regardless of what it takes or the quantity. I mean, see me talking like, because I can't actually get the paint.
Yeah.
I can't, you know.
Explore stuff like that.
And just try different things. I think the idea of this heavy paint really came from school. We were meant to choose between painting, sculpture, textile, ceramics, graphics. And I was torn between sculpture and painting. And you can only go with one.
With one, okay.
So I went with painting. And now I'm just trying to, like, you know, sneaking
sculpture. I see, now I get it.
And being exposed to a lecturer who actually exposed impasto, I think that also awakened something. I don't know whatever it is.
Yeah.
It kind of, the interest was pretty huge. Yeah, so I don't know. I just really like the
And I think I see in your work, to be honest, because I see the way you make your pieces, the way your paintings come out. It's like, I can feel it physically. It's like I can feel it. Or I have this mental picture of me feeling the piece.
I think what is playing that role is, or might be, let me not be too overconfident, might be the palette.
The palette, right.
Because I kind of like to pay a lot of attention to the palette as I feel like it actually helps to, you know, engage with the audience or whoever is viewing my work before they actually see what's going on in the work. So the palette plays like this huge role in connecting with my viewers' feelings or trying to put them in a certain mood before they engage with the work, what they see.
So like, let me say the colors you choose, your color palette, like everything's deliberate, like you are.
Well,
or you just want like
it's kind of it's deliberate though, but sometimes it's deliberate. Yeah. But sometimes when you're just, you know, when you're working, let's say you're working right in between, you feel not present.
Until you get to a particular
point, and then you be like, oh wow, I've gotten this far. Like it's more like this awakening from nowhere. You just step back and look at the work and be like, oh yeah, you've gotten this far. So that moment of being not present, you don't know the colors you've picked and mixed and done different things. But I know that I always keep one thing in mind when I'm mixing.
Yeah.
And that's like the simplest of things, like the basics.
The
color wheel. Yeah. And that's where I start from. I just go with, oh, I want to work with complementary colors today. And I go with blue and orange. And that, like, I'm serious. I don't start with blue and orange. I'm like, okay, I want blue to take more space and orange to, like, be the supporting color.
So it's more like
color.
The process builds
and
up. It builds.
From blue, I might accident, like, it could go into purple. And then I have to bring in yellow. But not yellow, but a different shade of yellow. And it just keeps changing shades until, so it's just starting from, like, the simplest things and building from there. Yeah.
I mean, the way you just like explain it now, it's just like, yo, this is how you build the Legos. You're just building Legos until you create something really beautiful. And that's really magical. Yeah, I want to just step off from art talk for a little bit and ask this specific question. If you weren't an artist, what would you have been?
Easy. I don't know if I would have been this person, but I know that I wanted to be a vet. I did not go with that career because I'm scared of reptiles. I do not like reptiles.
Maybe you could put geckos, it in your clinic. You put in your clinic like all animals except reptiles.
You know, then in my head I'm like, oh, veterinarians, they kind of have to handle all animals. But apparently you could select, I think, right. Yes. But I didn't know then. But I know that
so if somebody I am just not, calls you up.
Maybe
My pet snake is like, sorry, this is not the vet. This is the eye doctor. Sorry. that's beautiful. So like, how do you, let's say you're not painting, how do you like to unwind?
Unwind?
Yeah. Me, I like sleeping.
Yeah. Actually, that was my answer. But I think I'm a homebody. I'm very introverted. My type of fun is not going out to party or anything. So far, the fridge is filled up with like drinks and random stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like lights. What was that? I can watch movies.
What was that cookie you gave me that time?
Cookie.
Almond? Is it Almond Joy?
I don't remember, but
Almond Joy chocolate. Yes, Almond Joy. Exactly. You have a lot of that.
So far, I like have something to snack on, and there's the movie to watch, and the weather is not hot.
I mean, we're Lagos. That might be
very challenging. I think I just watching movies and chilling. I have fun with that. Oh, I really love watching Food Network. Sorry, I put that out there.
Oh yeah, she's a great cook too. I remember. Yes. She made dinner for us sometime, and I can still taste the jollof rice in my mouth. Okay, that's exaggeration, but yeah. Are we gonna do that again? I'm really hungry right now. I can use some.
That's good.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I just like I like watching that, and I think just the laziness to try out the recipes, because most of the recipes are pretty foreign, and getting the ingredients here, I get lazy to like go out and buy the stuff. But I love watching that. Music, I listen to great music. I'm a huge classical fan. I grew up with classical music.
I remember we went for classical. We've really done a lot of stuff.
So classical music, and I just like quiet, like a very quiet environment.
Yeah. Well, for me, I don't really have a specific genre though. I just
it depends on the mood, shall. Oh. But if I were to pick. Yeah, something.
So you're trying to tell me you have your mood where you listen to Zazu?
Yeah. Yeah, once in a while stuff. I'm Nigerian. It's inside somewhere.
Okay. I know we're young and we're still growing in our respective careers. Mm-hmm. So do you see yourself evolving, like maybe doing something like a different art style, or leaving painting for a while and just going to like full-time sculpture or sculpture for a while? I know we experience phases, but do you see yourself doing that in the next few years or maybe even tomorrow? You might just call me, okay, look at what I just made. I was like, eh? Of course.
When you have this mindset of always wanting more, you never know what to expect from yourself. Tomorrow now, I can just wake up with this random thought and be like, yeah, I want to do this. And it's just
pour paint on the canvas.
Just do something random. I mean, most of those actions happens with my work, like during the process. When I'm working and I get very angry at the paint. Moments where you want to like tear the canvas and stuff like that. I think I usually mess up my work.
Yeah.
And maybe step away and just walk away. That's messing up layers of paint.
Layers of work.
And by the time I come back, I'll be like, oh, I actually like how this is going. And like, I grew from there. I'm back to your question. What was the question again?
Do you see yourself evolving?
Oh, yeah. Of course I do. But I kind of have this mindset of just living in the moment and
enjoying the process.
Enjoying the process. I think that was what my solo was about, and living every day as it comes and every moment as it comes. Because if you start thinking of, I mean, it's good to think about
where you want to be in the future,
but when you start thinking of things like that, you kind of start putting unnecessary stress on yourself and this expectation of by tomorrow I want to achieve this and this and that and blah. Come on, you need to like live in the now. The now is more important than the past and the future, because it's the now that would predict. No, the now. I've lost my thoughts.
Don't worry, we'll Google it and we'll like put it at the like in the caption, like boom.
But the now is what would, you know, it's what would determine the future.
Exactly. Okay, so One question before we just round off.
Okay,
it's more like a silly question, but not that silly. Chill. So, like, when did you decide you were going to make this a full-time career? I mean, I know growing up in Nigeria, telling people, oh, you want to be an artist, the first look you get is, that salty look. So, like, when did you decide this was going to be a full-time thing for you?
I didn't get that reaction.
You didn't get the reaction.
Yeah.
Ah, lucky you. I kind of envy you right now. I tell a few people, I want to be a nice, like.
I kind of had like full support from family.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And a lot of push. I was really confused when we were selecting, like, you know, what to study and everything. And I kept going towards something else, like law. Because of like people,
the stereotype, I guess.
don't let us go there. People kept saying that you know, there's no career in like the arts and I'm not exposed in that space yet, so I kind of, you know, got confused in my head, and I want to survive in this life. but I did kind of. See, every decision I made just kept going towards the arts. That's what I'm going to tell you. I went to school. I was registered for it. I studied it. Support from
family.
Every single decision I made. Secrets. I used to be a stage performer. I used to dance and stuff. I don't know how I got so shy. But yeah, it's not even, can't even see it anymore.
I will have 1,000 guesses and I will never imagine you being a dancer.
Performance, I used to do a lot of performance in secondary school. And when I graduated, I just went into the visual space. I didn't know what was coming. I didn't know what I was doing. It was just like, when you just have this sense of, you're just being directed to this path. Every single decision just I kept going to
that. Letting life do its thing.
So here I am.
Yay. That's beautiful. So, like, any last words for your fans? You will not tell me you don't have fans. Maybe you don't know, but I think everybody have a couple people who look up to them or just get inspired by your works. So, like, if there's that person out there, just any last word? Like, any words of encouragement?
It doesn't have to be art-related, but it's more like life-related.
Great. Sensei.
Leave every day as it comes and enjoy every moment as it comes.
Let me write that down.
But yeah,
that's real beautiful.
Thank you for having me, Katie.
Thanks for coming. It was a little bit straight. Yes, we will go get our canvases. Calm down. I know this was a little bit back and forth. I invited you for a while, but we've been busy and all of that. Mm-hmm. And thank you for coming through being on this episode with me. I know I've taken about a couple minutes of your time. Don't worry, I'll buy ice cream. And ladies and gentlemen, it's still your boy KD, and over here is In Your Life. For those of y'all who missed the introduction, just rewind back, you see it. Thank you. So you know what we're all about. Steady Artemis Fair, brought to you by the Pond Collective, and of course your regular host is back and alive and healthy. And inshallah, we thank God, whatever. So till next time, peace and love, be creative, be young. I mean, growing old is fun, but remain young, okay? And have fun. God bless. Peace out.